Sorry if I suck. That's a little disclaimer. Heads up. Alright, so my name's Jared. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is February 13th, 2014. I have a sponsor, and I've yet to get anybody that wants to stay sober with my sobriety counsel. So, not currently sponsoring others. I guess what happened, what it's like, or what it's like, what happened, what it's like now. You know what I'm trying to say. Damn it. Thanks, David. this is like my first time doing this, so. Alright, let's just start from the beginning. My mom was a heavy drug addict, and when me and my identical twin brother were born, we were born addicted to drugs. The basic terminology for it would be called crack baby, except, I mean, that's what they call them. We were actually addicted to five substances that we had to withdraw from at an early age. So I can say my first experience with drugs and alcohol was in the womb and whenever I first came out. That sent my mom to prison for a violation of her probation that she was on from her last release from prison. We bounced around foster cares a lot, mainly family members and friends. My mom got back out of prison, and for some ungodly reason, they thought she seemed fit to be a mother, which turned out to not be the case. I'm still working on that one. Let's see. My earliest memory is I was 5 years old, and my mom was on another one of her binges, and she was yelling and screaming and got a neighbor to watch my identical twin brother while she proceeded to take me to the projects and have me molested so that she could do drugs. That's the dealer then injected me with heroin so to keep me from fighting, and that was my second experience with drugs and alcohol. It's kind of bold, but hey. From that point on, I bounced around from foster cares and found a family, actually my second cousins, who were really great people, used to come pick us up all the time, and take care of us. Sorry. Eventually, they ended up adopting us and becoming what I could blatantly say is probably some of the best parents that I had the honor to be part of their family. My dad told me when I was really young that he said there was something different about us, but he couldn't point it out. He said there was a distance in our eyes that no matter how much he tried to love us and how much he tried to support us, he couldn't get past. And I had that experience through the rest of my life until I discovered drugs and alcohol. My first time drinking, I was 15, and I was really rebellious, and my parents had kicked me out of the house because of that reason. I would never listen. And they decided that it was better for me to be away from them because they didn't think they could help me anymore. So I was homeless, and a bunch of friends from work would always go out drinking. I was the youngest guy there. They always used to pick on me for it. And I always just, I never really felt like I really fit in. And I know you hear that a lot, but it kind of goes with that distance in my eyes thing that I just couldn't explain why I felt the way I felt. And that might be normal teenage angst, but for me, it was the realest thing I had ever experienced. fear at every turn. And they finally, one more time, invited me out, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go out and be like these guys. They seem to have all the women, all the friends, all the money. They seem like they fit in. And maybe they'll stop picking on me. So I prepared in the best way I knew how. I ate a giant double chocolate cake from Ruby Tuesday. I was like, you know, I didn't know anything about drinking or anything like that. And I went to this party. You know, I ate a bunch of food, and I was like, you know what? This is going to be a blast. I was scared, and they gave me a beer. I remember drinking it, and it was the most terrible thing I'd ever tasted in my entire life. But everyone was like, yeah, go Jared, like, whenever I finally started drinking it. So I proceeded to basically chug that beer because it actually felt nice and warm, and after you drank it, and it was actually a really good time up until I hit my second beer. And I threw up for the first time on drugs and alcohol, because I just thought, yeah, on drugs, fucking on alcohol, because I thought, you know, that's what you're supposed to do it. These guys are like 26, I'm 15, and I'm proceeding to chug beers like they're chugging beers, and they've been drinking since they were my age. So don't do that, is what I learned. But I would finish like half a beer, I would set it down. And then they would open a brand new beer, hand it to me, because I'd be like, drunk, where's my beer? And they would just hand it to me. And they proceeded to get me tanked. Like, that was their goal. Jared came out drinking. He's got a little buzz. He's not going to know what's going on. Let's get him tanked. So I was the life of the party. I was the young guy. Everyone was paying attention to me. And that was probably the most amazing feeling I had felt in a very long time. I felt actually a part of, and you hear this a lot, well, I do personally hear this a lot, that, you know, the first drink you feel a part of, you know, your woes and troubles go away. That didn't last very long, because I was blackout drunk soon after that. I guess what had happened was, is I sat on the couch and became unconscious. I tried to get up and go to the bathroom. I threw up all over my like what is now one of my best friend's little brother's, who was visiting from St. Louis, and made it to the bathroom too late, of course. And I stayed there the rest of the night. I was late for work the next day, and that was my first time drinking. Like, actually drinking. And no matter all the consequences, I woke up with a black eye and a knot on my head. I don't know how it got there. I felt like shit. I felt like ungodly. Like, this is the worst thing. I'm never doing this again. But I realized how amazing it was that all these people, like, I've now got like 10 numbers in my phone that I didn't have before, and everyone wanted to be my friend. So they would talk to me more at work. They stopped picking on me as much. They still picked on me. But it was a good time. Within a week, I was drunk again. And then within 2 days after that, I was drunk again. And then it became every 2 days I was trying to find a party to hang out with, some people like to hang out at, friends to hang out with, things to do that put me around drugs and alcohol long enough for me to make friends and then ruin those friendships. That's pretty much how my drinking went. every chance I had, I was shit-faced, and I continued that cycle until I was about 18, and I found out about other things. We'll call them dry alcohol. But I kept doing that, smoking weed. It was a long time coming before I figured out there was other things, because alcohol wasn't doing it for me anymore. But I still partied the way I partied, which was every night, 24/7. I would try to not do those things, but I would be like, I'm only going to drink tonight, and I would drink, and then I would end up doing those things. I heard somebody say before that, you know, alcohol is their lighter fluid, because you start off as a small flame, drink some alcohol, and then it's off to the races. I did that. Until I until I was about, let's say, 23. And this entire time, I'm homeless, you know, bouncing friends' couches. Like I said, I stayed with friends long enough until I lost those friends, and then I moved on to the next one. I was like a succubus, you know, I was like sucking the life out of all my friends. They were trying to help me. I think that's what that means, maybe, no, who knows, you know, or close enough, you know, but, you know, who knows, Blair, maybe, but, I did that a lot, and for some reason, a bad experience told me I needed to straighten up. I don't know why, it just did. So I went to detox. And it's funny, it tells you how my relationship with my family went. The day I wanted to go to detox, I had called my dad the whole, like, 3 days prior, like, every 30 minutes asking him for money. Because I just needed a place to stay, and my dad would always cave because he really cared about me and he thought I could do better. The morning, it was a Sunday, and he was going to go to church. And that morning, I called him, and he answered the phone. He said, "What? What do you want now? You need some more money, blah, blah, blah." And he said, "I'm not helping you anymore." I said, "Dad, I want to go to detox." He said, "I'll be right there." So that's how you could tell, like, how badly everyone knew I needed help. He was like, "Thank God everyone knew this was, you know, hopefully this day was going to come." I went to detox, hooked up with a guy that got me connected with some friends out in Tampa, and I moved out here. I didn't work a good program at all. I half-assed everything, you know, that whole half measures availed us nothing. I think I was putting like 10th measures in, you know, and it availed me negative, you know, more consequences. But I was picking up like a week or two, and then I would relapse, and I would pick up another week or two, and I would relapse. But I learned something that I've seen, like, all these times I relapsed, I've seen other people continuing to be successful. That was ingrained in my brain, that this is working for these people, but not for me. So I developed a resentment. And then I went out hard. And then on Christmas Eve, not this past year, but the year before that, I found out my dad was really sick. I went home, got around old friends, started doing heavier drugs, dry alcohol, and my dad passed away February 6, 2014, a week before my sobriety day. I went really, really hard, overdosed twice, and one night I was out drinking really, really, I had a really good time, you know, because I don't drink because I hate it, I drink because I like the way it makes me feel, you know, and it was making me feel better, and I had a great time, and for some unclear reason, I called my sponsor back in Tampa and said, "I need help." Which was a big God moment for me, because I think if that never happened, I may not be here talking to you right now, because I was in a bad spot. He picked me up and brought me out here. I've been sober ever since. Life has changed dramatically. I started, a lot of you know me when I came here, but I had no place to go, no car, no license, I didn't have a job, and some friends let me stay on their floor. I stayed on that floor, got a job, and I'm finally, a year later, now barely getting over the death of my father, which is something I thought I would never do. I have a car and my license, which is probably something I thought I would never see back, you know. I have friends now that I can call and say, "Hey, I don't think I'm going to make it through the day." And they say, "Where the fuck are you? Come here right now." Because before they would say, "Where are you?" And they would show up. And then now I have a car. They're like, "Get your ass here." It's funny how that works. I've seen a lot of people achieve sobriety since I've been here. My identical twin brother, who is also one of us, is now almost 7 months sober. And that's probably one of the greatest experiences I've experienced. I remember telling Terry, about it whenever he called me. I said, "My brother keeps calling, asking about this AA thing, but he's making a joke." He said, "Give him desperation." So I did. I told him. It's hard. You know, I would not be where I am right now if it wasn't for AA and God and a lot of good people reached their hand out when I didn't want them to. Thank you for my spreading.